America. We are going to discuss the Snatch Game and the Reading Challenge and the politics of drag. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, America. I am your host, 123 Jackie B. With me, as usual, I have the Mark J. Freeman. The Mark J. Freeman.
The, well, the Mark my J. Facebook. Freeman. It's my Facebook, the yeah. Mark J. Freeman.
Ollie.
Hi.
And Ronnie Jr.
Hello.
And it's not because I'm conceited, it's because I went to the Ohio State University, so I am the Mark J. Freeman.
It's funny because every time I see you on Facebook, it says the Mark J. The Mark Freeman, J. Freeman. Yeah. So that's what's in my
it
head.
It is, that's okay. I'm okay with that. I've been called worse, Jackie.
Well, Mark meant Marie Osmond, and woo-hoo! I am officially jealous.
She needs to be a judge on Drag Race.
She does. She does.
Because
can Donnie be a judge too?
That would be great as well. I actually spoke to Donnie on the phone once.
Oh my God. I want him to be a judge in his loincloth from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and then sing the song.
Did you see them in Vegas? I don't know why we're talking about it.
No. I don't know what they're talking about.
I have no idea. Oh. I'll give you the best of Donnie Marie DVD that I have.
No, they would be good judges. Not only judges to do a to do the main challenge.
Yeah,
yes. That's what I'd like to see is them doing the main.
Like they
challenge.
Had to do a variety show.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got this.
We
season
got
11,
this.
We got this. We got this.
Consultants on season 11.
We got this.
But Mark did see, you saw Drag Becomes Her.
Yes! It is done here. Yeah. They've been kind of taking it different places. So it was real. I'll have to say, I just re-fell in love with Jinx Monsoon. Aww. Wow. I mean, she's just so good. I mean, I guess she knows that movie Inside Out and Backwards. Like, it's like one of her all-time favorite movies, which is why they wanted to do the show. She just, she was just phenomenal. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. And Ben, not that Ben didn't do a great job, but she just was such a presence on
and
stage.
Not an easy movie to take on because of the, you know, being so popular.
I do wish I would have, like, watched the movie again because there were some parts where I'm sure if I remembered everything from the movie, like, the certain scenes would have made more sense to me. But it was great. Nonetheless, it was great. We had a good time.
Awesome.
So we'll It's touring, right?
Yeah, so it might be. I know they're doing another one in December here in L.A., but they didn't say what. They didn't give the name of the show because I even asked Peaches Christ. I'm like, did you say the name of the show or you just said you're doing a show in December? She's like, good catch. She said, no, we didn't say the name of the show. And I said, okay, that's what I thought. So I'm sure there'll be some sort of announcement for that.
So what did you guys think of this episode? I actually love this Snatch Game. I'm going to get into it, but yeah. I was so people. It was funny because people on the comments on the video thought I was going to be disappointed in the Snatch Game, but actually it was one of my favorites.
I thought it was good. I mean, they obviously had winners and losers, but I thought it was good. I mean, I've seen worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was one of those where I was like crying.
All Stars 3. Like,
yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it was very half and half. I think it was stronger in terms of like there's a lot more stronger queens in this. And granted, like there was only 8. I think they kind of waited to do it, and I was a little disappointed in that aspect, but this was a crazy episode. There was just so much going on. There was good, there was highs, and there was lows. And by the end of the episode, my heart was definitely broken.
If you watched it twice, you saw two different things each time. What I love about the show, and I think I've said this to you guys before, like, I like when I see a queen that I don't really follow or support or, you know, just not really my favorite, let's say. And then I watch and I'm like, wow, she had a perfect game. And I'm speaking about Aquaria.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's going to sound like, because she won the challenge. No, what she did with Melania Trump perfect. And made it Michelle Obama, I didn't even see that the first go-round. I was
she played off the other characters, China, Cameron's
China. Oh my gosh, her line about China was slammed up. That's what won her Snatch Game.
I was so unexpected with Aquaria, and I'm really pleased. And like, I'm not the hugest Aquaria fan, but now I'm really, she's growing on me for sure.
And not to put down anything that Eureka did, because I think Eureka knocked it out of the ballpark too when she drew all over her face. I literally thought I was going to pee
myself. And her belly.
But it's just how it progressed and how she drew the, and she just really did embrace the whole challenge. I would have been okay with a double win. But I do think that Aquaria won because of the runway, which
I got to say, if we did it, I know we're going to get there. If we did a double win, I would have had to go with this gal.
Oh.
If these hoes try to come for me, I surely will cut thee.
Yeah.
I will not hesitate to put thou in a ditch because Maya Angelou is no punk a bitch.
Yeah. So good.
It's on her Instagram.
I watched it 90 times. That, I died. I was like laughing so hard I was crying. The fact that Maya Angelou would say punk bitch was hilarious. Yeah. To me. But so let's dial it back a little and go to the reading challenge. Okay. We were talking before we came on air how we didn't really think there was for us, a clear winner of the reading challenge, because to me, there were a lot of people that had like really good zingers. One of my favorites, though, was, speaking of Monet, was when she said that Cracker had to fuck, Cracker had to fuck Bob the drag queen to get to the top.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
Everyone had some good reads. I was really pleased. But I saw Eureka coming because she had the most. She had like 3 reads. Everyone else kind of had like 2.
Yeah.
I really liked Aquarius when she called out the vixen as the villain. Like, yeah. And I like that everyone this season like had fun with it. Like, yeah. No one was like hurt in their feelings. And I think that's important. Like, that's your drag queens. You shade each other all the time. Yeah. Like, come on.
I like that Eureka said, okay, now.
Fat
like,
jokes, yeah.
Yeah, get on all your fat jokes now. It was like, she knew.
When she told Cameron to F her.
Yeah.
I agree. Eureka, she's hilarious. I'm happy she won.
Yeah.
I thought some of the queens had a great delivery, not necessarily winning worthy, but like looking at like Cracker's delivery was strong. Monique's delivery was strong. Like even some of Monique's jokes weren't the best, but she wraps you up. Like every inflection and cadence of her voice is really, really strong. I thought the same about Monet too. I didn't think Eureka was that funny, but I tend to not think she's that funny. So if you like her, it was probably really good. But I thought the jokes were like, okay, you talk about being fat. They're going to talk about being fat. It was over for me.
Oh, okay. Well, we have a little live read for Maria's podcast.
Yes, guys. Conversations with Maria Menounos. Check it out every Friday. Drops on iTunes. It's free to do. Maria is our founder of AfterBuzz TV. We owe a lot to her. And I love like me being like a very like, I don't talk as much as on this panel, but listening to her week after week kind of gain a lot of confidence from it. So I'm definitely introverted. And I think it plays a lot in RuPaul because he always says, I'm an introvert playing an extrovert. Mm-hmm. And that's something that really sticks with me. And this podcast, I think, is very special because it gives me confidence. And I think a lot of youth in our community really need it in this time of age because this was a political episode. And
yeah.
It implemented so many things that, you know, the youth needs to see and just get involved. And myself being a gay youth, I want to get more involved. So definitely
check. You're gay?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, this is news.
Ollie just came out on AfterBuzz.
Oh, this is my moment. You just took my moment away from me. But yes, conversations with Maria Menounos. Check it out on iTunes every Friday.
Yeah.
So back to the main challenge. I'm just going to read out who did the Snatch Game characters. So Cameron did Chyna, the wrestler. Vixen did Blue Ivy. Eureka did Honey Boo Boo. Monique did Maxine Waters. Asia did Beyonce. Cracker did Dorothy Parker. Aquaria did Melania Trump. And Monet did Maya Angelou. I think we all did discuss who slayed. I mean, to me, the top three were Maya Angelou, Melania Trump, and Honey Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But I do think that Cameron's Chyna gets an honorable mention.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was such a good character. That was a perfect character. Because I was wondering, what the heck is Cameron going to do? And I wanted to see more Cameron. I wanted to see more Cracker, too. I was disappointed. But Cracker wasn't bad. Like, they were both really strong.
No, she wasn't bad at all. I think it's because I don't know who Dorothy Parker is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're doing a show at PRT about Dorothy Parker. That's the only thing I knew.
But she lent a good idea, which was, I know people aren't going to know her, per se. They'll just know her witty, you know, snappy personality. Yeah. My job as a performer is to still make it funny. Yeah. So I think she did a good job at that. Unfortunately, it wasn't all the way where we all kind of laughed at it.
I was hoping she would kind of get like that little Edie, like what Jinx did on her season 5. But I was like, no, and it's getting so late. And I want Cracker to win a challenge. But I'm afraid and I'm fearful for the future of Cracker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she exhibited a very confident personality. Like when she was talking to Bianca Del Rio, like in my mind, I'm like, wow, these are two winners. Not saying Cracker is going to win the show, but like she held herself in that way where they kind of said, hey, you may not want to do this character. People don't know about her. Mm-hmm. But she's like, you know, I get that, but, and I like somebody who could reason why they stand with their opinion. Like to me, that's really strong. So again, she did really great in this episode, but unfortunately didn't get that win with the jokes. Melania did though. Damn, she was good.
And you know, they were doing that edit where they're like, okay, Aquaria can't even finish her own sentences. Mm-hmm. How is she going to get through this? And it's like, she picked a character that benefited her personality, and I do think that helps. We've seen queens do that in the past where they're like, okay, there's something about this person I can, like, relate to or play off of. I always think of when Willem played Jessica Simpson, because he always does play that airheady kind of character. Mm-hmm. So that worked so well for him and his, like, brand of humor. But then, so Rue told Eureka not, like, basically not to do Divine.
Yeah.
Right. The impression was so bad. And that was great because Eureka picked Honey Boo Boo. And I think Honey Boo Boo, like, that... Perfect. As long as you do it right, it's right for comedy.
Yeah. She nailed it.
With the writing on the tummy and everything. It was so funny.
Well, and you know, and that, you know, the people that were, and the people by, I mean, the vixen, that were giving her crap about stepping on people and this and that. There's a difference between, you know, she's being temperamental because she doesn't like Eureka. So no matter what, I mean, Eureka could have sat there silent and Vixen would have found something wrong with her. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I mean, obviously we don't see the whole thing. We see the edited version of it. But from what I saw, it didn't appear as if she was stepping on anybody, doing anything. And there's a difference between playing off of somebody who says something and literally cutting them off, which I think they were right, Asia was doing more than Eureka was doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm surprised she would call out Eureka, mostly because, like you said, she doesn't like her, but she's just being very salty in her performance this week.
Yeah.
And, like, if anyone, like you said, was stepping on anyone, it was Asia, who did a horrible Beyonce.
Ugh.
Like, I can't even say who's worse, Asia or Vixen. Like, they were just equally horrible. And, like, Beyonce, you could actually do something funny with that.
Well,
she has her voice, her little, like, hi, y'all, I'm Beyonce. That was horrible. But, like, you know, like, you could have fun. Be endearing. Be a little airheaded. You know, Beyonce.
Why didn't we come as characters today?
Exactly.
Who would we do, I wonder?
You know what? I was reading in the chat room, Andrew Wilton wrote that he would do Norma Desmond, which I love that idea. I've always said I would do Joan Rivers because she's one of my faves, and I can't believe she has not been done.
That's true. Well,
who would you do, Mark?
Who would I? Well, I don't want to say.
Let's say it.
You
Let's
just
say
never
it.
Know.
He's saving
what
it for
I have
Drag
a couple
Race.
Ideas. Well, I'll say the one we've shown it before when I did Liza.
Okay,
I did Liza for my audition.
I could see that.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was fun.
Who'd you do?
Are you supposed to do somebody you
could do?
What if they don't?
Want.
What if they don't look like me? But
Doesn't
I would really
matter.
Okay, because I know, eat, breathe, love, and also love all the men that she's been with. I would have to do J-Lo just because I feel like I'm intertwined in.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. But I don't look like her. But I know I know she has that good laugh, like she has that extended laugh, and there's a certain, I don't
Bob
know.
Bob the Drag Queen did Carol Channing. Yeah.
True.
You can have who you want.
All right, well, what about you, Peter Parker?
Oh my God, that'd be so good.
Yes!
But no, I want to do a girl. Like, I know we could do whatever. I would do Ariana Grande, like, if
yeah.
I
could.
Dude,
yeah.
You would murder that.
Or Peter Parker. I'm sorry, Tatiana, but
yeah.
I'll show you good Ariana.
Yeah. You would do good Ariana.
I do. You know what, thinking back to the whole Blue Ivy and Beyonce debacle, is their idea at the beginning was a good one to, like, okay, we both have these characters, let's play off of each other. But it's like they played off of each other in a way that was not true to either of the characters. And I don't think it's like Blue Ivy doesn't even, like, she seems sassy, but not as bratty.
But, and
you know?
I was just going to say that. I was thinking about,
so it's like they both made them mean.
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is like, and I think anybody who has studied comedy, which I'm sure you've been in a few acting classes where you had to do a comedy script or something, comedy's funny when you like the person. If you're doing comedy in a nasty way, it's not funny. It just becomes mean. And that's what they needed to do. If they could have made them a likable Beyonce and a likable Blue Ivy, it would have been a completely different story. They just were playing them nasty.
And they started mean, so when you start mean, you could only
go worse.
And giving tons of credit to Eureka, because I didn't like her reads per se, but I did like her snatch game a lot, because it was a thing of, like you said, you know, she wrote the little pictures on the card and just kept upping that to, I think it was the face and then the stomach. So that was a fun story and journey to go through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I, you guys, and I get in a lot of conversations about this, and no one really agrees with me. Especially Tony, who used to do the RuPaul Drag Race too. We always argue about this. Beyonce, I agree with Monique. Beyonce doesn't have a strong personality.
No, she doesn't.
She's like very pageanty, and which I guess could have worked for Asia, but there's not much to it. So I don't even know. I didn't even think that was the right choice.
I feel like if when somebody made the joke about her not writing her own material, which was hysterical, I wish she would have just, like, embraced that. And again, with comedy, with improv, it's yes and.
Yeah.
You don't disagree with what the right. person sends to you. So had she been like, yeah, and, you know, and just somehow played off of that and made that funny, it would have been a very different, because I'm not saying there isn't somebody that couldn't do a funny Beyonce. It just has to be done well
and likable. And Ru always says, make me laugh. Yeah. Like, Maya Angelou is not going to, in real life, say punk-ass mm-hmm. bitch or some of the things that Monet was saying. But it's like, Monet said them in a voice that sounded like Maya mm-hmm. Angelou, which made it okay.
And I don't think she even really looked like Maya Angelou, personally.
I think she did.
I think the shades, like, helped it.
It helped it, but I just didn't feel like you didn't look at her and go, oh, she's Maya Angelou. Like, I actually felt like Monique... I saw Maxine Waters. I was actually definitely. Quite surprised. I was like, oh, wow, I'm seeing Maxine Waters. I didn't see that with, not saying Monet didn't do a good job, because I thought she did, but.
And it's like we always talk about, like, if they don't do the performance well, then you start nitpicking on the look. But, like, right. We don't agree per se, but I thought Monet did do a good Maya. Mm-hmm. But
oh, no, I said she did a good Maya. I just didn't think she looked.
But the thing is, like, if they don't perform, that's when you start nitpicking, like, right. And their look wasn't, you know, as yeah. tight as it could have been. But she was my favorite for sure, you guys. I just really was proud of Monet. Yeah. When Melania was also really good, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was torn, because I liked Monet, Aquaria, and Eureka equally. When it was all said and done, I was like, wow, those three really, and they deserve to be in the top. Mm-hmm. It, for me, it was the runway that knocked Aquaria into the wind.
Yeah, absolutely.
For me, hands down.
Totally.
So let's talk about the runway. the runway was Mermaid Fantasy. My first beef with this runway Uh-oh. Was rolling them out in wheelchairs.
Oh, see, I love that.
I did not like that.
Why didn't you like that?
Because it was so, you couldn't, sometimes you were like, okay, what is this outfit? Because you're looking at the wheelchair. And so I almost wish, you know how when they wheeled them into Untucked, they were on these boxes.
Yeah.
Mm. I almost wish they put, like, a blue water scene on the box.
So you could see, like, the fan.
Yeah,
because
so they
that's
could,
a huge
like,
part
pretend to be, like, flipping around on it. Like, there was one part in Untucked where Asia was being wheeled away, and she was just, like, waving and flipping her, like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
her tail. Mm-hmm. And I was like, see, that's what we're missing. It's, like, the actual mermaid-y movements. And...
But I liked the homage to Bette Midler. I have to say, so many of the challenges and runways, I think they finally are back on track with what, because I feel like there were times they were like really like searching for things that, and it was funny too, because when they did the hat challenge, which was, that was last week, right?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't here. That's why I need to say it. I was like, there hasn't been a hat challenge. Like the fact that they found something that were like, that's a good challenge. Like, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was such a great idea, a little homage. And then next week, to Cher, I'm like knocking it out of the ballpark. Season 10. I'm sorry. I'm liking most of the challenges and most of the runways.
So
I disagree with the wheelchair.
Okay, so
I liked it.
I see both sides of the story.
I liked it.
How diplomatic.
So my top three, I think, were Aquaria, Asia. Don't fight me on this.
Oh yeah, that's very controversial.
Uh-huh. I know. And then Eureka.
Yeah.
Okay. Although I do think like Cracker and Cameron get some honorable mentions, because I thought Cameron looked like a Disney princess and Cracker looked like She-Ra, like a She-Ra character to me. And Vixen was the worst, because to me, when you have bad boobs, it just breaks my heart.
Did you look
and
at
then,
me when you said that?
No! That,
she gave a side eye.
I think I got a side eye.
Who's the Sports Illustrated model who's the guest?
Oh, Kate Upton.
Kate Upton. I never remember her name. But
she looked like Blair St. Clair.
No.
I'm joking.
Kate Upton, I like, every time I see her, she's like whatever to me. They keep having her on Drag Race and I'm like, she seems to have no personality. But then she was like it just pains me with the boobs in the armpit, and I was like, oh my gosh, Kate Upton, you're my new hero.
Well, and I'm gonna say this because I wasn't here last week, I'm getting all my stuff in. What did Ru say last week about Vixen that I had been saying? There's just something that's always a little off. Like, it's not that it's bad, it's just that it's something's not right. And Ru said that, that's not my words, that was her words, even though I did say it too.
Oh. So
I like to be validated by RuPaul.
Taps and bottles.
Do you feel good?
So I take it Vixen was your bottom.
Yes, definitely Vixen the bottom. I agreed with the top three. I thought, and I liked Monet's outfit. I liked the look. I thought it was a little different. I liked that it had a story. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I did. I thought when Aquaria came out, I just was like, oh my God. I just love when it's like, it just takes it a little bit further. There's a little mm-hmm. bit more than just a pretty mermaid. Mm-hmm. Because I think when you get Mermaid Eleganza, you go, oh, pretty, like, not, again, not saying that I thought Cameron or
Cracker
were horrible, but that's the stereotypical mermaid. Yeah. I like all the people who do something a little different.
So then you liked Asia's, is what you're telling me.
I didn't like Asia's. Asia just doesn't rub me the right way, look-wise. She just always, and I think they said it in the Toot It or Boot It, her fabric choices are just always just a little off for me. They just seem a little corny and cheesy. Mm. So I just did, and it was too much. And I feel like Cameron's the same way. It's always just a little, and I know really? That says a lot from me because I'm always a lot of jewelry and a bit much, but it's always just a little too cluttery. So, but I did like Eureka's. It wasn't all-time favorite, but I did like it. And I think I liked it because it was black.
Someone in the chat role just pointed out the Aquaria's webbed hands, which is like yes. one of my favorite.
Which no one has really commented on. They didn't even comment on the Toot It and Boot It, and I love that.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, if she opened her hand, she had like stockings, so they were webbed.
She was like a swamp creature, goddess,
So tops and bottoms, you guys.
Obviously Aquaria, like that oil drip, like mermaid caught in like whatever, just like dying, like I loved it.
BP oil spill realness.
Yes. Thank you. That was
Andrew
perfect.
Said that. Andrew, I'm not taking credit.
Thank you, Andrew. definitely my top of the week for sure. I loved Cameron. Like, very stereotypical, but it was beautiful. Lots of detail in her, like, her outfits, I think. And her makeup, so.
I love the way she did the makeup this particular round.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I don't know, it was hard to pick my third. I want to say Cracker, because it was very, like, Barbie, you know. But maybe Monet, because I like Monet. She was the battle mermaid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, it was really, and I'm glad that I'm really noticing and, like, getting behind Monet, because I know she was in my bottom for a while. But my bottom, and it's really hard. I know you guys are going to disagree with me. My bottom is not the Vixen this week. I know there's lopsided boobs were horrible. and it pains me to say this. But
say it, boy.
It was Monique. And I love Monique. I didn't like Monique's look at all. It looked bad. It was, and like she's been having such amazing looks week after week. And like, it didn't look good. Like, it didn't look cohesive.
It did look like, some of the judges said it looked like two different outfits.
Yeah.
Split from the waist down was the mermaid, and then the top was something
It didn't
different.
Look good in HD.
No.
And, like, I loved what she's been doing, like, thus far, except for this. And I think it really spoke, like, because her story arc was about how she didn't have money, and I think it really showed this week. But even then, like, she turned it out without, like, you know, last week she had the hemless dress that she made in, like, 30 minutes. So it's really sad that she was my bottom this week. And I didn't want her to go home, though. So, I love you, Monique. Aww. I still love you.
Oliver, I'm just going to let you know, Max Matuchka.
Yes.
Thinks you are adorable.
Thank
and
you,
he
Max.
Wants, he's setting off a boner alarm.
Oh
my goodness, oh my not God. The boner
this
alarm.
I had to share that.
It was in all caps.
It was in all caps, I had to share that.
Oh, I'm turning red. Okay. Okay, Ronnie, take
Max
it away.
Max and Ollie you. Sitting in a tree.
Oh my God, not the boner alert. Oh my God,
you.
Step your
Follow
pussy
Follow that,
up.
Ronnie Jr.
There's no way.
Who
I guess,
gave you a boner alert on this episode?
All three of you gave me a boner, so we're in good company. God, the top three. So I gotta say, I was so impressed by Aquaria, and this goes to personality. Like, she was present in the workroom. She was funny in the workroom.
Yeah.
I think Monique made a crack on her, and she was about to throw one back, but she just kind of, like, had fun shade, which we never really see. You know, sometimes it seemed like Aquaria didn't really have the social skills, so I just loved her so much. This is coming from somebody who had challenges with her throughout the season. So being that I say all that, Aquaria was definitely my top, you know, and of course she won. But other three that I thought were really great were Monet, Cracker, and Cameron. I was really pushing for Monet and understanding that Monet didn't do as good as we needed her on the runway, but gosh darn, the reading is fundamental was good, and the Maya Angelou was good, and like I looked at the mesh material and it seemed a little loose or whatnot. Mm-hmm. If that could have been more sleek, maybe we could have got a win for her because I really liked her. So she's gonna go up there. And you know, I'm like I think someone at the panel said, like, oh, we don't always need it to be pretty. But damn it, if pretty is what we're gonna go for, Cameron was... She slapped the heck out of that thing. Yeah. You know, she gave boner alerts. Like, that was something good. Yeah. So those are my top three. And Ollie hitting home runs with every bit of your opinion, because I also really miss Monique already. Like, I'm sad that Monique is not on the show. And I agree that while the Vixen's lopsided boobs were very drastic, Monique just didn't look as good as she should have in that final. I think Monique is led with her personality, and I'm so sad. That's it. She's my bottom, unfortunately.
God. I really think she could have stayed if she knew the words. Yeah. I really think it was Vixen's time to go.
It bothered me that she wasn't even listening to the song in the untucked.
Yeah. She did, honestly, she probably didn't think she was going to be in the bottom. She thought probably Asia. Sure.
But still, you should be learning those words just in case.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're saying in untucked.
Yeah.
And if I have to lip sync, I'm going to go home because I don't know the words.
She did say that.
It killed me because I was like, she was so unprepared. Good in that lip sync, but she was so good as far as like physical movements. Mm-hmm. But I was like, it was so obvious she didn't know the words.
She could have won. That's the thing. She could have definitely won. Painful. Yeah.
And that was one where I didn't mind that, just a personal note, that was my one I didn't mind that she ripped off the hair because the hair was already coming off.
Well, and I think it fell off.
Yeah, it was falling off. And so I think she made that choice, like, I either danced with this, like, half hair or just rip it off.
I thought she looked better without it. Like, she...
It was hard to watch.
I was into it.
It was tough. And she did say... I don't know if I was on the show. She said that when she did the cartwheel, because everyone was commenting on the cartwheel, she's... The way it looked funny was she thought she was going to kick Vixen, so she kind of stopped halfway. So that's what that was about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So now we come to our mirror moments. We had two mirror moments for me. One was like actually in the workroom when they were talking about whether or not politics should be in drag. And Vixen was talking about how she does a lot of like political art in drag. And then... Monet said she thinks that political numbers, they're a call to duty. But then Monique said that she stays out of politics because she lives in a former slave state. And so she's trying to, like, keep the peace.
Stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Do you think politics have a place in drag? I mean, I think drag is political and that, like, it's an integral part of drag. Like, I think that they need to be together.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, for me, like, I mentioned it earlier in the show that, like, I am not as educated as I want to be. I'm not as involved with politics and whatnot. So, like, I think politics being involved, implemented in Drag Race, being on this mainstream platform for the youth to see, like, it's very important to get educated because, you know, like, this is, like, huge for, like, the LGBTQ community. Drag Race is getting so big and, like, just, you know, I can't even say more. I just say it's important for sure.
I also think that, I mean, when you look at the, when the Hamilton cast had Mike Pence there, they decided to say something to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you have a big platform and you feel like you're being attacked politically, I think it's good to say, okay, I have this big platform. I might as well say something now.
Yeah, you know? I love that speech. And that was Brandon Dixon who made that speech. And the funniest thing is it's like he did it so well, you know, and I think that's the key too, is like if you are political, maybe it does suck, but you have to kind of put your emotions aside and just explain the issue. Basically saying, hey, this is us. We are the community here. This is your policies, you know, don't do us a service. So, but going off your original question, yeah, it's absolutely political. And that's, you know, with an even Stonewall riots type thing, you know, with the trans women of color being so prominent in that situation, you can't help but not want to push that out there, but I do feel bad for Monique in situations where it's not as accepted to do that because, you know, you could be in harm's way.
Right.
So I guess it's a tough question to answer.
Mm-hmm. I haven't really ever done any. When I'm out there, it's like I want to make people happy and entertain and just kind of forget the world. So I like to choose upbeat, positive songs just because I just, you know, there's so much of it, thanks to CNN and MSNBC and Fox. I can get that anytime I want it. I just feel like this is an escape. That's my personal choice. I'm sure if there was a political number that I thought of that I thought was really great, I would do it. But I just try to stay away from
that. That makes sense, Mark, because Blair said something like that last week, how because of what she's been through, it's all escapism for her.
I also don't think that, like, if you're a drag queen, you don't have to necessarily say, okay, I'm in drag and that's when my politics come out. Like, Mark, mm-hmm. you've been on this show before in like a Bernie supporter shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely. There's a thing where you can be a drag queen and be known for certain things and yeah. have a certain platform and absolutely. Still say, like.
And I mean, I definitely have my opinions and stuff. And if you, my Facebook friend or
the Mark
David may have unfollowed me, no, my real page. You know, I definitely have my opinions. Again, I just, you know, and it's also for me. You know, she's my escape. She's my chance to just have fun and let my hair down and be someone who's not really... I mean, yes, it's me, but it's like, it's kind of me to a different
it's
degree.
It's also a form you know of what I mean? Empowerment as well.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, even when Rue talks about, you know, the gender F, you know, start, you know, origins of her career in Atlanta, it's like, it had nothing to do with anything political. It was more just like where she fit in this world and saying, this is how I'm going to be received. Like, you know, it's yeah. kind of like a FU to the whole, you know, situation, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
But even like implementing like just a few jokes like Bianca does and just like some jokes and like, utilize being freaking, being Melania, like in Snatch yeah. Game for us to see, like that's a form of escapism yeah. that also makes us feel a little bit better in our political climate, you know, because it's like this is the she is our first lady, but it's like this is like a form where we can kind of like it lessens the blow, I guess.
Yeah, we should yeah. cackle at these things. I'm not yeah. good at the political stuff because I follow as much as I follow, but I'm like you, I'd like to learn. I do know there's a really great Monet Exchange video called Strange Fruit, of course, that Billie Holiday made famous, which originally was titled Bitter Fruit. 1937 is when it was written. It was a poem. And that one was more about the Alabama lynching. Of course, that's where it started, the origins. But what Monet did, this video was released in February, because she spoke in this episode how she's done some political stuff too. She did it differently with a lot of the undertones that are hard to speak upon, but hers had a lot to do with the police and with, you know, different ethnicities intertwining, yet intertwining romantic. I don't want to like butcher it, but it was done very well. And if you do want to go look at that, that's Strange Fruit by Monet Exchange. Obviously, I'm really a big fan of hers, so that's why I thought it made sense to try to bring it to you because it's done so well.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because I did this for Ollie, I have to do this now for Ronnie Jr. Ronnie, you are so damn hot and sexy.
Did you write that?
No,
there's people in this chat room.
199. No, that must be
Singed.
That's Mama Dina. My mom is, she wanted to even the playing field.
That is not your mama.
Singed. Singed.
Oh, okay. My favorite word.
Singed.
Singed? Oh, is that what it is? Singed?
I'm assuming.
199. Singed 199.
So I also liked how they talked about how expensive drag is because, you know, you had Cracker and, oh my gosh.
Monique.
No. You had Cracker and Cameron. Oh. Dusty was the name that was coming to my head. I was like, not right. Cracker and Cameron were talking about how much money they spent. And then, you know, you had Monique saying, like, I don't have this kind of money. And we've had my mind is
Chi-Chi DeVane?
Chi-Chi, that's
right. Oh, that's right.
I don't know what's happening.
We need alcohol.
I'm having a scene. So, and the, I mean, you've had Chi-Chi bring that up as well. Yeah. And this is really expensive. The queens do get paid. One of our fans actually sent me a link to a RuPaul's Drag Race Facts Instagram.
They get like a stipend?
Where they get a stipend, like I think it's $900 per episode.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Which, I mean, you almost have to do that because you have to somehow offset some of those costs, you know? And
totally.
So they get a stipend to do it, but it's like, you know, you're putting so much
on the line.
Money and everything on the line mm-hmm. that I think it is really important to talk about the inequalities between like means because you mm-hmm. have some people coming here and they're able to like really compete because they had they're either a seamstress and they made their own dresses or they had handmade dresses, and then you have people who maybe can make their own dresses but can't afford expensive material like someone like Monique, or you have people that have to like buy them from somewhere else. And I always think it doesn't, you look at someone like Bob the Drag Queen who won a challenge wearing like a $25 Amazon outfit, you know? And so, and then Asia had that IKEA hat, which I know some of you hated, but I loved, whatever.
Asia's, oh no, I like that.
Asia's IKEA lamp.
You know, when she came up, I thought, dang it, why didn't I think of that? How many times I've seen that light at IKEA, but it never dawned on me to make it into a hat. Arr, that made me mad.
But it's like, you just got to respect the creativity of some of these
queens. Totally,
you know?
Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
And it is. No, that someone just asked me how much I thought it would cost to go to Drag Race. How much would it cost to spend on everything? I mean, it depends. I mean, like Monique, she didn't. She bought some fabric and she took whatever she had and went and did it. And kudos to her. You know, when as the show progressed and you found out more that she was making them in the workroom, some better than others. But you have to give her credit because she, like Miss Cracker said to her, you know, you're doing these outfits without a hem and they're still not putting you in the bottom for it. You're doing something right. So kudos to her. And obviously she does it well enough that it got her on the show. But, you know, I don't think Miss Cracker was joking when she said she spent more on her on preparing for this than she did for college.
And that would not, Cameron said her with
down
the
payment.
Down payment on her house. That would not surprise me. Do I think that you should have to do that? No. Because, yes, it's always nice to see a very, you know, again, those pageant girls who spend thousands of dollars on a gown are fantastic. But sometimes it's the simplest thing put together that you gravitate towards, and the money doesn't really matter. So I hope that people don't feel like they, if they get on, they have to spend that kind of money. Just go do you. If it doesn't get you to the end, it doesn't get you to the end. You're still going to come away a winner.
Yeah. What do you look at? Look at Adore. Like she didn't. I don't think she had like crazy like $1,000 gown.
No, not
like,
at all.
And she went. She top three.
No,
and
make
like
part
she
of your
sold
aesthetic.
It. Yeah, it's, absolutely. That is like her brand for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think Monique kind of has like this. I think she kind of got like an all-star edit. I can definitely see her coming back for all-stars. Because she's...
Monique. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because she...
Congeniality.
Yeah, and that just makes me wonder, like, if some of these queens, like, are purposely eliminated so that they can have returning queens for all-stars.
I don't know if that would be true.
But I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
the
skeptical.
Edit, though. Maybe the edit,
so if they get rid of my cracker...
Looks like you can win and still do all-stars.
Very true.
There
very
are no
true.
Limits anymore.
The controversy. But yeah, that was something I've been thinking about.
So do we, okay, at the table, do we think using that excuse by not having the funds is not a worthwhile explanation?
I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's, I actually think these queens are trying to say, when you go home and you watch this show and you read me to filth, like, let me remind you that I am putting all my, like, hard-earned time and blood and sweat and tears and money into this, you know?
Well, and, you know, and it is hard. It's like, I mean, I always, and I never did it. It was hard for me because I never wanted to do it all the time because of that. It costs a lot of money. And I always say if I started doing it again, the good thing would be that I'd be able to do a lot of my numbers again because people haven't seen me in so long. They'd be like, oh, because I'll be brand new to this new audience. You know what I mean? So it's always nice when you go to a new place, you're like, oh, I can dust out the old stuff and do that again and I don't have to spend any money. It's tough. I mean, it does. And I've said this before when Michelle Visage got on somebody on the thing when they said it might have been
Chi-Chi,
when she said, that's not an excuse. No, Michelle, you don't do that. You don't have to worry about buying something and, you know, having something new for that catty audience that's writing nasty reviews on YouTube because you keep wearing the same boots or the same shoes or the same wig. Sometimes you just don't have enough money to go do
true.
That.
True. And I think overall we want to have that idea that, like, it doesn't matter. But it does. It does matter a little. And I always have a little bit of sympathy for them.
I would say for All Stars, do it. Call them out on it. Because now you're getting more money. You're getting booked. You're traveling the world. You're doing this stuff. You're seeing other drag. Now you can call them on it. I don't feel like for a new season, they should be that red for something.
And
like
and my last thing on that is, what's interesting is we love cheap.
It's
gotten into me. Sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
Last thing on that one, though, is with Chi-Chi coming to All Stars, I think we started to love Chi-Chi in a regular season because we started to factor, oh, she's doing this well with no money.
Yeah.
Now, that's to say, once you get money and you do enter an All-Stars, you may not be as good as maybe you thought you were, you know, competitively towards the other ones, because Chi-Chi did drop the ball. And when I saw Chi-Chi going into All-Stars, I was like, oh, she'll do well. And I thought exactly in my head, she's going to do well because now she has money. But just because you have I guess that goes on the overall theme. Just because you have money doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Exactly.
I do think it's an excuse that is worth the while. But yeah, you could Bob the Drag Queen it and put a paper bag on your head and still rock that paper bag down. down. I mean, it's just
honestly, okay, guys. I'm so sorry, but we don't have much time left, and I do want to get to the Vixen and Eureka.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We do.
It's gonna look weird. Let's if do we it. Don't. So Vixen and great conversation. Everyone.
No, it was very good.
But Vixen. So Vixen called out Eureka on the stage because Rue asked that normal question, like, who deserves to go home? Which I hate because it's always bait for, like, causing drama later on because you know, friendships are going to be hurt and things like that. So Vixen called out Eureka. Eureka, like, stepped in to defend herself. And then a whole slew of other queens went on to say that Vixen should go home, which then, like, Vixen felt attacked. And then, to make it even more, like, emotional drama, you had Vixen's mother come in as, like, the special guest video in Untucked. And it does bother me that we know that these emotional manipulations happen, but I was like, this is just cruel at this point because not only did you ask this on the main stage, but then maybe you could have thought, okay, maybe we'll hold back this video so we're not, like, making this person into an emotional, like, roller coaster mess.
Oh, but that's now, television.
I know, but it's like they're doing this so that knowing that going into the next episode, Vixen will, like, be sure to have an emotional meltdown. And I do think that's a little unfair, but at the same time, it's like, it's hard because, you know, Vixen initially did attack Eureka, but then Eureka, like, stepped it up in that one Untucked episode where she came, like, for her really hard. And then they've been kind of butting heads ever since. So the whole thing is driving me crazy.
I just shook my head at the whole situation about calling out Eureka because Eureka admits that she is very unapologetic. She is very clear that she is very obnoxious. But then Vixen, she also says she's unapologetic.
Right!
As well. So it's just like, girl, like, you're just so salty that you did horrible this week. Why? Just, you're looking like this complete idiot. Like,
well, that's, and I was so funny because on the runway, when Vixen's talking and Eureka interrupts her and says that, and Vixen says something to her, and I wanted Eureka to go, because she's like, oh, you always say that. I'm like, but you always say that. You always tell people, don't poke the bear. This is who I am. Blah, 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 blah. Mm. Well, then why is it okay for you and not okay for her? It just is absolutely asinine. And I'm not going to give it any more than that because she's had enough TV time.
Eureka, Ronnie. Definitely.
I know Ronnie's got thoughts.
No, I
have thought space.
I was just listening to that great argument. Here's what I feel for Vixen, and it's she had mixed emotions. So there are so many things that she's talking about that are actually truth to her. You know, being a Southside queen and having that the challenge of not being accepted by other aspects of the gay community. That's absolutely true. And being authentically who she is, and that's why she's abrasive, makes all the sense. What I do feel bad is when she was in that argument with all of the queens, it was as if somebody she didn't have issue with would say something. She suddenly was like, Jackie, and you can go. It was just, so she was throwing it out, and I just felt like, you know what, she was in the wrong. I can honestly say that. Vixen's been a fun watch for me because there's been a lot of negative, but then there's been a lot of things I want to defend because I want to give her, you know, this platform to do what she does. But this one was a tougher one. It was bad. She definitely was in the wrong. I do want to point out something that won't make her sound right, but I think maybe this is happening. I watched an episode of Big Brother last season, and they brought back a returning cast member. All of the cast groveled except for the two or three. And I think I remember seeing that division. And when you have a cast member like Eureka and everyone grovels because she's the famous one, just like when last week's RuPaul said, oh, Eureka was the number one most adored in the DragCon panel. Well, of course she was. She was good, but she was also the only one famous. You know,
she's,
you see what
seasoned,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that that's yet another thing that Vixen is trying to explain, but she's doing it horribly and really going below the belt. And I do think it was very tacky. Like I said, I'm not going to defend Vixen the whole way. Dixon. But I will say it was really tacky because I felt for Eureka in that sense, because when you do it to the main stage and you put that bug in the ears of the judges, that's a tough one, and I don't think Vixen should have done that. You save that for the workroom. You save that for the Untucked.
Well, even when she was in the Untucked, she said, when all was said and done, Monique should have been the one going home because she was the least prepared. And I was like, then that should have been your answer. You clearly just said what you said to get a rise out of Eureka to to do whatever it is that you do, you did not answer that question properly.
And I love the way Monique handled herself. She said three times, this is what was presented, this is how I answered it, bob, bob, bang, boom.
Yeah.
Question though, you guys, we just all criticized a little bit Monique because she didn't know the words. Do you think all this hucklebub that was going on behind the backstage of Untucked could have caused her not to be as prepared as she could have been?
No.
She could have walked away and
I guess. Okay, that's fair.
She could have learned her words.
Yeah. Her words.
In the confessional, she was like, I don't, like, we brought it up earlier. She was prepared to go home, like.
We're just so sad that Monique is gone.
I will say, all the queens handled Vixen pretty professionally.
Yeah.
So it was
nice. Well, because they saw a breakdown, and you don't want to step on a breakdown.
About Vixen is that I enjoyed hearing about her story in Chicago, about how the community, like, I hate, because that's very true in the gay community. Like, there's hate within the gay community, and so I enjoyed hearing her story and why she is who she is.
She's bringing up an important conversation that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like
how you go about it.
Yeah. Well, I think it
mixed
was
emotions.
I think Monet actually said that. I think it was Monet in this episode who said, "No, it was Asia. I'm so sorry. It was Asia who said like." Sorry, I'm going back to my notes.
FYI, Anthony, if you're writing us messages, we see a photo, so we can't see if you're writing to us.
That's our engineer.
It was Asia. who said it to Vixen.
Thank you, Anthony. She said,
"Know when to use your anger or to put it aside, because like if you're trying to get a message, and the message is important, the message she's trying to bring, it's like." When you're trying to feed someone like salad, they want dressing on the salad, you know, like I'm trying to give you something that's good for you that maybe you might not like the taste of, but it helps to like give it a little like
she's
sugar.
diluting exactly what her message is. And there's good messages in there, but this was a rough one. And I liked the way all the girls kind of backed up. Did you notice they all kind of were like, let's let this just happen.
After the message, definitely.
Well, like you say, the manipulation, God, it's like an episode of Unreal on Lifetime.
That actually made me very mad because I already hate the, who should you throw under the bus next question because it's just, like, blatant manipulation.
I had to do that once on TV, live TV.
Well, but you know what I think? That's what they're doing because I do think that's what they're doing, but I do think some of it is because they don't necessarily know what's going on in the back. It is kind of a way to bring things out to the judges of the kind of the energy of backstage and getting ready and what people are saying.
But even after knowing that, like, everybody came for her, then bringing her mom in, like, you had to have known that's just going to make her an emotional mess.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so not cool to me because I'm like, oh, you are really manipulating this person.
You walk.
But anyway, we are out of time. Thank you for listening to us. RuPaul has a new book out, so
yay!
I wrote the name down and now my notes.
Maybe she'll do a book signing tour.
It was called Guru, and yes, you can at least at there's an indie bookstore here called Book Soup where you can order pre-ordered signed copies. I don't know if like Rue is actually gonna do a book tour or not, but yeah, that's her new book.
Oh, I loved we just had a photo up a second ago. I loved Rue's runway look. I know
we
comment a couple times, but this thing
loved it.
Very classic.
Very Rue.
Shape for day.
Yeah. Oh, come on, drink it in.
It's kind of mermaidy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Little bit.
And I've been loving Michelle's makeup. I've been like, glitter eye makeup, I love it.
Shout me out. It's 3 a.m. in London, Andrew.
Hey. Andrew, we shouted you
out. Shouting you out.
That's my middle name. I love that name. Boner alert.
Thank you to everyone who joins in the chat room.
Yes.
Thank you. You're hilarious.
And Brad was first in the chat room, so I have to give him a shout out.
Okay, so thank you guys for tuning in. We've gone over time. We will see you next week. You can find me on all platforms, 123 Jackie B. Mark?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, LorayneLove. And if you're going to be at DragCon this weekend, Saturday at 10:30 a.m., I'm moderating not the All-Stars 3 panel. It's the Season 3 Reunited panel.
Yes.
So 10:30 a.m. on Saturday.
Congrats.
Find me. I'll be there. Come see me.
Yes, guys. I'll also be at DragCon, I think Saturday for sure.
Yeah.
But follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
I'll be doing J-Lo and drag at DragCon. No, I'm kidding. Ronnie Jr., randomly RJ. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. See you next
time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Drag you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.